Welcome to another episode of Side Hustles and Turnbuckles with your host, Knuckles and Poppy. Now let's get that bell rung and get this thing started.
Okay, welcome to another episode of Side Hustles and Turnbuckles. Last week we had a crazy ass show with Silver Wolf and Skulls from the Wisconsin Wrestling World. And they're going to have a kick-ass show on May 4th. Can't wait for that one. But this week, man, we have got Demeter and we have got our good friend Phil Christie calling in. They got some big things they want to talk about. So we should be coming up. We should be... here we go. Let's go. Hey, what's going
hey.
On?
Hey, Demeter.
Hey, Demeter. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Are you? How's everything going?
Fabulous.
That's good.
Everything going really good in the Windy City. Is it ain't too cold for you down there, is it?
Actually, not at all.
Oh, yeah, y'all are easy to it. We're chickens up here. Well, Demeter, we got Phil Christie calling in today with you, too.
Yeah, I know. I just spoke to him.
And I'm going to go ahead and get into it with you. Last year and earlier this year, you were talking about you got some cool things that are happening now for the company. That you've got new sponsors, you got a new venue. I mean,
there's some really
cool stuff going on for you.
Yes, we have a lot of surprises for everybody. We had to kind of take a step back and revamp, and that's just what we did.
Cool. So
we have some new acts and some new talent that's going to be working with us, and I think everyone's going to be pretty happy with it.
Anybody that we would know?
Well, same guys from the last time. I know we have our champion, Joey Mack, who's in Ohio Valley right now, kicking ass.
I wonder if speaking of Ohio Valley, I'm sorry. There was a guy that was just wrestling up there in Ohio Valley that's from here. His name is Bo Amir. He's a big old 7-foot black French guy.
Okay.
I just wonder if Joey's had him up there with him.
Well, he'd be a good one to ask, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
So he's doing it her thing, and then he'll also be working for this new company we'll be working for called Pro Wrestling Association.
Oh, cool.
That's going to be starting up.
Cool.
And we're going to probably be switching some talent back and forth with them.
Where's that one going to be?
Maybe also doing some TV tapings out of the Berwyn Eagles Club.
Okay.
And I will also be making a debut with LLT.
Oh, wow.
And that's out at the Berwyn Eagles Club, and that will be February 17th.
Wow.
Man, you're going to be wearing a lot of hats this year.
And then we also have a lot of stuff going on with our company, and I'll let you talk to Phil.
Okay.
Tell you some more about that, and we will be bringing some more people here. I was going to have one of our dancers talk to you. He might be calling in.
Okay.
And that's what we have going on. What did you want to ask?
Y'all got any shows coming up anytime soon? I know there was a big pay-per-view that hadn't happened yet, and y'all were waiting to get to a new venue and stuff last year.
Did we have a pay-per-view?
Well, I knew you were talking about having a show that you said that you were going to have it.
We're doing that. That's what I'm telling you we're doing this year.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So when is that one taking place?
We're not disclosing that yet.
Oh, okay. All right, give us a little something.
Let's just say it will take place around the end of February.
Awesome.
Between the end of February and the beginning of March.
Cool. Man, that's...
So that's why we kind of want to get in the air and get everybody prepped for it.
Kind of build the excitement up.
Exactly. That's what we want to do. Keep you wanting more.
Well, that's what it's all about.
Yep.
So what all have you been doing since last we've talked last year? I know you've all this obviously you've been talking about, but what else has been going on?
With me?
Yeah.
I've been keeping busy and doing some of my, let's just say demonstrating some of my other talents.
Okay.
And that's been going pretty good.
Cool. Because, I mean, last time we were talking to Mr. Christie, he was talking about how you run kind of, you kind of manage the day-to-day activities for the wrestling company. Kind of, he's kind of stepped back and, like, you were doing that. I think that's what he was, to my understanding. Oh, looks like we got him. Hold on a second. Poppy's putting him through.
Yes, this is...
Hey, how you doing, Phil? What's up, brother?
I'm adding him. Hold on. Okay, he's there.
All right, Phil, you there? Okay.
Hello.
Now,
hi.
We're hello, bringing everybody full circle now.
Hello, Mr. Christie, sir.
How are you?
How you doing, sir?
You got steady time right here.
So how you been doing, Phil?
Very busy. Very busy. I'm getting a echo, by the way.
Are you?
Yes.
Let's see. How about now?
No, it seems a little bit.
Okay. Okay. How about?
Well, we'll work around it. We'll work around
okay.
it.
So. Okay. I turned the mics down and the everything, so we'll see what we can.
So tell her what's been going on, Mr. Christie.
Well, not too much, really. I had a heart attack about 3 months ago.
Oh, God. Wow. Are you okay?
Well, I'm still here.
Well, thank God.
That was the third one, so I think the next one's going to be the end of it, but we'll see how it goes. No. So you're I'm not going to worry about that right now.
You're too tough.
Yeah, really. So anyway, no, it's been very, very hectic. But, you know, I'm still around, and we'll see how everything goes. So we'll take it from there.
Demeter says you got some new stuff you want to tell us about that you are working with.
Yeah. There's about three or four stories.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I heard the other day that somebody died.
Oh.
Do you have any idea who that was?
Wrestling wise?
Yes.
I hadn't heard anybody.
I haven't heard not that I know of.
I heard the Iceman. I think it was
the Iceman King Parsons. I'll have to look. I'll have to ask around real quick tonight. I'll find out and I'll let you know. I'll ask.
Why sure?
I'll ask somebody that would know. Yeah, dude, we just seen him back in April or back in August. We went to a Black Bart tribute show for Black Bart, and he was there. God, he was old. He got no.
Who, Black Bart? He's
no,
still
no,
around?
No, not Black Bart. I was thinking Parsons.
oh, okay.
No, Black Bart's old. Say. Black Bart's old anyway.
Oh, yeah. I can remember they made him the champion, and a lot of people did not go for that.
Yeah, he's got like some kind of cancer right now, and he's fighting it. I think it's stage four. And they held a tribute show, and it had all these wrestlers.
Why does people have to talk about illnesses all the time?
Sorry. Anyway,
is there anything to talk about besides who's going to die and who's going to have an illness? Can we talk about something happier, please?
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, I mean, when you say what's going on to somebody, I don't want to hear. Someone who died today.
Oh.
You want to check the listing of who died?
All right, Phil.
Oh, who has an illness?
All right, Phil.
Okay.
You're so happy, right?
She is the boss.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm not a boss. We all work together, right?
Okay, whatever you say.
I have a philosophy.
Oh, I started something here.
No. I want to explain. I like to say I work with people, not for people. It kind of puts us on the same level. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right.
All right, Phil, continue, sir. You were going to tell us a story, you said.
Yeah, I got just 1 second. Somebody just walked in on me. Hold it.
Okay.
And action. We are back, right?
Yeah, we're back. Sorry, Demeter.
Okay. Sorry about that.
We're going to have some kind of ceremony at our next show. And Phil's going to be there. And we are going to have a lot of people from the first show there. And we are going to have the same tournament for the, and we're going to use the crown this time. And we are going to have some more acts involved. And oh, bless you. That was unexpected. And we are going to have maybe some unexpected people showing up.
Cool.
Uh-huh. Okay, Phil, go on. I want to hear your stories.
Okay. Well, I got about three of them that, you know, might be interesting. Are you guys familiar with Shohei Baba?
The name sounds familiar. Go ahead and explain.
Okay. Well, he was a big promoter in Japan.
Okay.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
But before that, he came over the New York office, Vince McMahon Sr. He brought him over, and he brought Mr. Suzuki over. And he was a big guy, you know, tall guy, didn't weigh a lot, but he was something new. Anyway, he won like 70 matches right in a row. They were building him up. And I was working in the office. I was a 15-year-old kid, and I was sitting there, and promoter Fred Kohler was there, and Billy Gales, who was one of the bookers for Fred Kohler, came in and told Fred Kohler, "Hey, we have a big problem here." And Fred Kohler said, "Oh, well, what's that?" He said, "Well, we got Buddy Rogers does not want to give a fall to Shohei Baba. He wants to take him two straight falls." And Fred Kohler looked at him and said, "Well, he's on the next big show. They're headlining it in 2 weeks." And I had the programs in my hand because they had a mailing list and I was helping them out. And I had one of the programs, and this is going to be Buddy Rogers's toughest match. And I'm looking at that, and I heard that. And Fred Kohler said, "Well, does New York know this?" And he said, "Well, I guess, but Rogers refuses to give him a ball." So he beat him in 9 minutes. And a lot of people were talking about, wow, Rogers was very selfish, this and that. And when I'm thinking about it now, what I think might have happened was that Shohei Baba was going to promote in Japan and wasn't going to make New York the big office to bring the talent. Because Terry Funk and Amarillo, I think, was a cut in on that deal. But it goes to show you how the business goes, to where a guy like Buddy Rogers can actually, you know, tell you, "Hey, I'm not gonna do this, I'm not gonna do that." He was a big draw. He didn't need Japan. He was a big draw on the East Coast, and he was a big draw in Texas for a while. He wrestled in Texas quite a bit. But it just goes to show you the way things are. Another story that you're gonna find kind of weird is with Ivan Koloff. Okay, and what happened is that I worked with a guy who was a pirate. I put him over. 6 months later, I go back to Pittsburgh, and I'm working the show. And Ace Freeman, the booker, came up to me, and he told me, he said, "Well, you're going to work with the Russian, Ivan Koloff." Well, I didn't know much about him at all, so I go up to him and I said, "Well, my name's Phil Christie," and I put my hand out, and he looked at me and he said, "Well, gee, it's nice seeing you again." And I kind of looked at the guy and I wonder, what the heck is this? Well, it was the pirate. I mean, it goes to show you how you can go from a mid card to a champion.
Huh.
Because he beat Bruno Sammartino for the belt right after that at Madison Square Garden. He was, you know, was a big upset. So it just goes to show you how things can happen in this business.
What comes around goes around.
It was a very odd thing. Terrific worker, really a good worker, and I was shocked that he got the belt. Another story I have is Bobby Heenan.
Oh, one of my favorites.
And this one you're never going to believe, but this happened. It happened in Marion, Indiana. And it was a July 4th show. And it was me, Bobby Heenan, Tiger Joe Tommaso, and Bob Sabre. And Bob Sabre is an interesting thing. He went as the Wrestling Beetle back in, I think, 1962. He went as George Ringo, the Wrestling Beetle.
What a name.
He was the hottest thing for 3 weeks. I mean for three. He was also the guy who gave me my first match. I knew the guy very well. He was a real just a funny guy. But he for 3 weeks there was nobody hotter.
Wow.
And people were mad because he was a job man that just got the break. I think he made about $10,000 in 3 weeks.
Good God.
And a lot of guys back then weren't making anything close to that. So, but he did draw, and he worked against Hans Schmidt. He worked against top guys.
Wow.
Now he lost, naturally, but nobody cared because the Beatles were hot and the gimmick went over. Anyway, this match, we were at I don't want to say a crazy house, but that's what it was. It was a nut house. it was a nut house. And what happened...
I can't believe you weren't freaked out to be there.
We worked single matches. I worked against Joe Tommaso. Bobby Heenan worked against Bob Sabre. And then we came back in a tag team match. Anyway, Joe Tommaso said to me, he says, throw a punch and miss me by a foot. And I said, what the heck is this about? So I throw a punch, and I miss him by a foot. And there was about three or four guys in the front row, and they went crazy. They said, you hit him too hard. And I said to myself, what the hell is this? So we worked the match. Bobby Heenan worked with Bob Sabre. And... we came back in the tag team, and Bobby Heenan said to me, he said, get me in a headlock and hit me in the head. So I get him in the headlock, and I hit him in the head, and there's a guy hiding behind a tree. And he peeked out of the tree. He came running up to the ring, screamed, and then ran back to the tree and hit behind the tree.
What the hell?
What a crazy...
So Bobby Heenan says, hit me again. And I hit him again. The guy comes running out screaming. Well, I couldn't help but laugh because I said, oh, this is absolutely ridiculous.
Who was the guy coming out from the tree?
I know. He just kept hiding, and he came out from the tree peeking. Wow. And these people were walking around the ring. They were eating. They were picking leaves off the tree. I mean, it was the most ridiculous thing that I was ever associated with.
Damn.
And me and Bobby, and the funny thing about it, here I am in the ring on a July 4th day. And here Bobby Heenan, who went up to the ring with Andre the Giant.
Wow.
That was big. I was with George Ringo, who was big for 3 weeks. And Tiger Joe Tommaso was the WWE Tag Team Champions with Guy Mitchell as the Assassins. And here I was there. So how did I work out here? So it was a crazy day. And these are things that you're not going to read in any of your books.
Yeah.
Because they just don't believe it's an interesting story. They think Bobby Heenan and these guys work all big shows. Don't let that fool you.
You got to start somewhere. Everyone does, right?
Well, he was already a star, but it was a booking. You know, you made $40 on July 4th. Back in those days, it was okay.
That's pretty cool. Dude coming out from behind the tree every time.
Yeah. So Bobby Heenan said, he said, boy, this is fun, ain't it? And I just said to myself, this is totally ridiculous, but I'm here. I'm working a show and I'm taking bumps and I'm trying to make everything look so real. And these people don't give a damn about what's going on. Wow. And I've worked in front of small crowds, but I mean, working in front of people that walking around a ring, yelling at everything.
This is actually
picking leaves off it.
This was actually a nut house, a real nut house.
It was an actual crazy house. And nobody cared who won the matches. I mean, nobody, it was like a little workout, maybe.
Man, lucky y'all didn't get no psychotics coming out at you.
Yeah, well, really. I mean, I didn't know they were that bad, and they had the guys in the suits walking around to make sure nobody jumped in the ring on us or anything.
Damn.
Really, it was insane.
So now I really understand. It was actually a really crazy guy coming out from behind the tree, just like that.
Yeah. He thought it was, and then he got scared. Once he seen me hit him, he got scared and he ran. He hid behind the tree. Then he peeked out. Then I grabbed him and I hit him again. He came running up to the ring screaming. Ran back to the tree, hid behind the tree.
Oh my God, that's the funniest story.
Oh, it is. It is. You know something? There's so many things that the young guys today, if you ever tell the young guys, they
they ain't got the stories you got, Phil. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because
right. Number one,
these guys have never done anywhere near what I done.
No. I mean, the battle royal over the cliff tops it all.
Yeah.
And now
wrestling for
a nut house, they can stop. They ain't never going to compete with those two events right there.
Plus the one in Milwaukee when we had a show and we opened up the doors and here people are dancing and the guy with me had a mask on. And he walked in, the band was playing, people are dancing, all of a sudden people start screaming. oh my God. It's not like we were robbing the place. Well, the thing was is that the show was never booked.
Oh wow, that kind of sucks.
I didn't have anything to do with that. I had an 80-year-old guy, Bulldog Atkinson. He said, I booked the show. Don't worry. Everything's fine. And I says, well, you saved me some, work. I says, okay, we'll make the show and we'll get the guarantee. Well, there was no show. And this guy, Big Lee, we called him. His name was Leland Fryer. Big guy, nice guy.
Was it a rib?
But he wasn't a very nice guy, because what happened, I ran to the phone to find out what the hell was going on, and I heard Big Lee said, "Where's Phil? Where is he at?" And I said, "Uh-oh, he's going to kill me." He said, "What the hell is this?" I said, "I have no idea." The guy said that the show, we're here on the wrong date.
So they probably thought y'all were coming in to rob the place.
Yeah, they thought we were robbed because the music stopped, the people stopped dancing.
Holy crap.
The place was sold out. I mean, because when we went up there, I mean, it was snowing like hell. And I looked and I said, wow.
Well,
we got this place sold out.
Damn.
Little did I know, they're not there for wrestling. They're there for a damn dance.
Well, you could have made you some money. You could have made you some money anyway.
Well, I'll tell you, everybody who showed up, all the guys made it. And they said, well, what are we going to do about this? And I said, well, you know what we're going to do. I'm screwed. And I'm going to have to pay you guys for a mistake that I made.
Damn.
I should have never dealt with this guy. Two times I dealt with people, and I ended up on the short end of it. So I didn't do too much of that.
Damn, Bill. Like I always tell you, you need to write a book, man. I would love to read it.
Oh, I'd love to write a book, but I think...
You will.
I think a lot of the people... these people here, number one, I don't get many calls from any of these guys. Okay? Number one, half of them are so jealous of what I done. It's almost that I have to apologize for the career that I had. But when I talk to these guys, I try to explain to them how the business is. I wish I could help them out more, but I can't. Any of the guys that I know is dead. really, I mean, you know, I hate to get back to that, but it's true. It's true. You know, one guy said, hey, why don't you have a get-together? A get-together? I'd have to go to the cemetery. Really, I mean, who's left? There's nobody here.
Wow.
You know, it's like General Lee said. He said, well, one day you're going to have a lot of empty chairs.
Damn.
He's right.
Yeah.
Pretty soon all your boys are gone and you're the only one standing.
Well, last man standing match.
Yeah, well, there'd be nobody to face me.
That might be a good thing. You win by default.
I don't know if there's, you know, I don't know if there's many of the guys left. I'll be honest with you. I don't think so, because once we broke up, it was it was the end. I mean, we went about as far as we could go. Now, I was only 32 when I quit. A lot of guys, they start at 32. But, no, it was over.
How long were you in the business for?
Okay, well, I was 12 years old when I started.
Wow.
I started setting up rings, working at Marigold Arena for promoter Fred Kohler, who was the number two man. Number two man in the country. The number one guy was Vince McMahon Sr. But wow. I was with the number two guy.
Man.
So that means a lot. A lot of people don't know that. So I worked setting up rings, cleaning up the Marigold, keeping my eyes open, my ears open, and my mouth shut. And learning the business I worked in the office till I was 15.
Damn.
Then I started, I was working out at 16, started wrestling when I was a little over 17 years old. So I worked from 17 to 32, but I was also in the Army in 68, 69, and 70. I was stationed at Fort Bliss at El Paso.
Okay.
Okay. I went to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. Then I went down to El Paso, Fort Leonard Wood. And the promotion still went because I had three guys running it in Chicago. Now, I was working in Amarillo on weekends a lot of times. I worked Lubbock, Odessa.
With any of the Funks?
Yes.
That's what I had to ask.
Oh, yeah. I knew Terry extremely well. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, there's a real sad story.
Yeah.
Good guy. Very good guy. His father was, too. Dory Funk Sr. They treated me very well.
That's cool.
And anyway, so I wrestled until I was 32. It was 1980.
You had a good run. Very good run. Very good career, dude.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, these guys, they all come. One guy came up and told me, and I know Demeter heard this. One guy came up told me at one of the shows, he said, "Do you know that I've wrestled longer than you?"
Oh, yeah.
"I wrestled for 17 years. You only wrestled for 15. And I said, "Yeah, but I wrestle more than once a year." So, you know, this guy wrestles once, twice a year. Big deal.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean you know what to me.
Plus, I think you got a lot more stories to tell than this dude did.
He was so ignorant.
Yes, he came up with some nacho chips. Wanted me to have some. I said, "Well, I can see that you're in training." I said, "No, thank you." So, but he told me that, and I said, "Yeah." I says, "Yeah, you lasted a lot longer than I did." Oh my God! You know, see, that's one of the problems that I have, because you know I wrestled full time. I didn't wrestle. I wasn't a weekend warrior. I wasn't a wannabe. I'd done this, and I'd done it very well. Maybe I wasn't a top guy, but I was booked all over the place. Most of the territories that I did write to and I wanted to go to, I did. There was one that I really wanted to go to, Portland, Seattle. And they told me no. But I went to Hawaii.
Yeah, wow.
I went to San Francisco. I went to Los Angeles, but I couldn't get in there. To this day, I don't know why. You know. And actually, I trained one of the guys, Chris Colt, who was a top man in the Northwest. And I still couldn't get in.
Huh.
I still couldn't get in.
When you went to San Francisco, so you wrestled at the Cow Palace?
I didn't wrestle there, but I wrestled the towns around there.
Yeah.
I didn't work the Cow Palace. In Los Angeles, I worked the Olympic. The Olympia. I was there. Fred Belassi was... was one of my drivers.
Wow.
And he was a character.
Yeah, pencil neck geek.
I remember that song.
Pencil you got neck the geek. Album?
No, but I just remembered on Dr. Demento growing up when I was a kid. They'd always play it on Dr. Demento back in the day.
Oh man. San Francisco was fabulous. That was when they had the flower children there. And I was walking down the street, and I got more kisses from the ladies than I ever did.
So you had.
So that was fun.
You're out there and Hey Dashbury.
They said, "Oh, you got nice. Yeah, you got nice hair. You got nice blonde hair. Ooh, who are you?" I said, "Oh, well." But it was, I worked a tag team against Ray Stevens and Pat Patterson.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Their finish was where they jump off the top rope with the knee.
Oh, ouch.
One guy came, the guy followed him. And all I did was lay there. They never touched me.
Damn.
They were great.
That's awesome.
One of the greatest tag teams I ever worked with. And I worked with quite a few.
That's a good story.
Yeah, I worked against Dirty Dick Murdoch.
Oh, wow.
And Iron Mike DiBiase.
Oh, wow.
And those are two really good guys. Again, you know, two guys that died. The one guy died in the ring, and Dick Murdoch just... he was something else.
I remember him back in the day when he was teamed up with my buddy Dusty Rhodes, man.
Oh God, they were great. The Outlaws.
Yeah, I got a bunch of their DVDs.
They were in Minneapolis. They were in the movie The Wrestler.
I never seen that. I need to see that.
You never seen it? See it.
I'll look for it tonight. I'll look for it tonight.
Excellent movie. And the funny thing about it. When we're talking about shows, WrestleMania 1 is kind of an interesting thing. I never met Mr. T. I never met Jimmy Snuka. I did meet Hulk Hogan before he became a wrestler.
Oh.
I seen him in Florida. He was... me and Terry Funk was sitting... And this guy came in the dressing room, and I looked at him, and I said to myself, "Ay, look at this guy." And I looked at Terry, and I says, "Who is he?" He says, "Don't worry, he's an idiot." I says, "Well, if I was him right now, or if he was me, you'd be doing a job for me." And he looked at me, and Terry said, "Yeah, you're probably right." But what was on the other side of the ring in that WrestleMania was Roddy Piper,
my favorite wrestler,
Paul Orndorff, and Bob Orton Jr.
Yep,
I wrestled all three.
Oh wow!
And it dawned on me one day. I said, "Damn, boy, you worked against some pretty good guys."
Okay, and, I have to ask, what was it like? Because Piper was one of my favorite wrestlers next to Dusty Rhodes. What was it like with working against Piper?
Working against who?
Roddy Piper. I loved Roddy Piper. He's one of my favorite
wrestlers. He's okay. he was okay. He was a young kid who was high on drugs.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay.
He was very good on the mic. He was okay. I mean, he was a decent wrestler. I thought Orndorff was good. I thought Bob Orton Jr. was great.
Yeah, Bob Orton Jr. was good.
I watch his boy, Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not... He looks the part in that, but... I wrestled... Here's the ironic thing. I wrestled Bob Orton Jr.'s father.
Bob Orton Sr.
When he was getting out, yes. So I almost wrestled all three. Randy came way after me, yeah. I'm only kidding you about that. But
I knew you was.
I mean, I'm not knocking the guy. I mean, you know, he's made a lot of money, and he looks good. I just think whenever I watch him, he starts every match the same. Punch, punch, punch. Show me some of the wrestling, because I know Bob Orton Jr. could wrestle.
Oh, yeah.
And Senior was a shooter. So, I mean, these guys were great.
I like Junior. I liked him when he was away from Orton. I mean, when he was away from Piper and he wrestled on his own before Piper, he was great.
Yes, yes.
And actually, right before he wound up his career, he was still pretty good. And he's always been a legend in my book. And I've always thought Bob Orton Jr. was badass. And his dad wrestled back when my dad was growing up. And he would tell me all about him, how awesome that he was. I don't think I've ever seen Senior fight. I'll have to look it up.
Big, tough guy. Okay, I mean... When he came in the dressing room, you could tell, but you want to know something? He was a cream puff. You couldn't ask for a nicer fellow.
Well,
the same with Fritz Von Erich. I sat at the Sportatorium first time I was there. I worked against Wahoo McDaniels.
Oh, wow, Wahoo.
That was fun. So I'm sitting there, and he came in. Holy, he scared the hell out of me. Just a big, what's your name? Phil Christie.
He says, what about Tiger Phil?
I'll tell about that later. Anyway, he scared the hell out of me.
Well, as time
went by, I was there for 2 weeks. As time went by, he was a decent man.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question about Fritz, since you brought this up. Have you had a chance to go see the Iron Claw movie?
Absolutely not, and I won't go see it.
Yeah, they kind of took a lot of it out. I went and seen it, and I grew up to going to the Von Erichs, and you left out one of the brothers, and it wasn't all accurate. They left quite a bit out.
And I heard enough about it.
Yeah.
I never knew the boys as wrestlers because that was before me. But growing up, yeah. I mean, I seen, you know, you could tell that they were going to be wrestlers. I wouldn't waste my time looking at that.
Yeah, because they left out Chris Von Erich, and I just don't know how you could do it. And they talked about Young Jack, but they didn't even mention anything about Chris. So it's just, I don't know. To me,
it was just a sad thing to all of them.
Man, it was.
I met the mother,
Doris,
and to this day, I think that's the. I feel so sorry. I know she's gone and that, but she must have went through hell.
Yeah, I can only imagine, dude, because I lost brothers and sisters growing up, and I just, man, to lose five brothers, man. And then to hear Kevin Kevin said, I used to have five brothers, and I'm not even a brother. So it's like, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And you look at the ring posts, and you see little notations that they wrote.
Oh, yeah, I hear about that. Yeah, I heard about that.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And Kevin said that's when it wasn't no fun no more for him, when he would, like, he wrestled after Kerry had killed himself, and there was this... There was this thing that Kerry had wrote on the ring post to Kevin, and it just hit him the hardest, and said he it's not fun anymore for him.
No, it was. I think they went about as far as they could go.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole promotion, all of a sudden, somebody else came in. It was never the same.
Well, I think when David died, it took all the wind out of it. I think if David would have stayed around and Fritz would have jumped when it was time to jump, I think probably the WWF would have been here in Dallas-Fort Worth. There would be no WWF. I think we would probably be running everything.
Yeah.
But it just didn't happen. It wasn't in the cards. Fritz was one of the old school promoters.
Yeah, Fritz, he believed that don't go into somebody else's backyard.
Man.
Which was the thing that I always believed in. Don't start messing around with people. You know, we have a great thing going. Don't try to take over the whole thing. Now, I never thought that New York was going to be the guys taking over. And I talked to Terry about that because he said one day somebody is going to run the whole thing. And I said, well, who do you think? We thought the Crockett's down in Carolina was.
Yeah, I would have thought that too, man. I just never would have seen Vince.
Because they had the Superstation.
Man, I grew up watching
down
that.
In Atlanta, which I worked. I had a ball down there.
It was nice. I loved the Crockett, the NWA back in the 80s, more so than I loved the WWE.
I saw the NWA. Yeah, I was there in the late 70s.
They had all the good talent.
I worked against Flair and Valentine, Greg Valentine.
Oh, wow.
And they were the tag team, U.S. tag team champs.
Wow.
That was a brutal match.
Man, damn.
Because Greg Valentine hits you pretty hard.
Dude,
you know,
Dusty was always.
I thought he just didn't like me. I mean, I didn't know. He just kept hitting me. And
Greg?
I said, yeah, what the hell did I do to you? Yeah, that was almost as bad as Abdullah the Butcher.
You know,
but Abdullah had the, yeah, but Abdullah said, well, gee, he told me to,
yeah,
to be mean.
Yeah, you were saying.
I said, yeah, that doesn't mean to kill me.
You know, you were talking
he
about.
Couldn't figure that out.
You were talking about Greg Valentine, his dad, Johnny Valentine, which I never knew this till after he passed away. He lived here in Lake Worth, Texas, which is about 30 minutes away from us. And I never knew.
Really?
Yeah, I never knew he lived here in Lake Worth.
Oh, my God. But, I didn't know that.
And I don't know if you ever remember an organization that started back in the 90s here. It was called GWF. It just recently started back up, and they got a newly crowned Johnny Valentine title now that they just brought back, and they just, but GWF just started back up with a new owner and new promotion, and they started in December, what was it, 1st? We went to their first show, and it was pretty good, and it's going to start going, he's going to start putting on more shows and hopefully making it nationwide again, and maybe putting out all the stuff on, I don't know what he's putting it on, I know he's got one of the first shows he just did on YouTube, it's called Empire Rising, and it was had, and I think their champion is a guy by the name of Danny Saint is a champ, and I don't know who all else is in it, but it was actually it was an all right show, but I was kind of but I grew up watching GWF right after USWA, then GWF, and after the Jarretts came in and took over after Fritz's promotion kind of crumbled, then. Well, the only good thing to me that came out of USWA was Stone Cold Steve Austin. He made something of himself later on, but I mean, yeah. there was a few people that were there, like Jerry the King Lawler was there, and I think Eric Embry and Maniac Matt Bourne and
Ken Tibbs.
Yeah, just it didn't last very long. It lasted like for a few. And I think even Undertaker. Was the Punisher or something like that, or he was there for a little bit, and it just...
yeah, right. He went before being the Undertaker. Yeah. He was Mark Callis.
Yeah. And I think it lasted for like 4 years here. But now the guy's been going through all these legal litigations and getting the company back, and now there's a new owner and everything. Two new guys that are partnering up, but it's actually hopefully gonna. Do pretty good, and we're gonna wait and see the new owner and everything and how that's going with them. But guys, before we let y'all go, is there anything else y'all want to tell us that y'all got coming up?
Well, she wanted me to tell you about Tiger Phil.
Okay, go ahead, Bill.
Okay, well, most of my career has been Phil Christie.
Okay.
Well, before Phil Christie, there was a Paul Christie.
Okay, not you though, right?
Nope, not me. And okay. I knew him as a kid growing up.
Okay.
He worked the territory here. But then he left. Well, I liked the name Christie. And my name's Phil, so I used it. Anyway, I'm working for quite a number of years. And I'm in Indianapolis doing a big TV show. And Dick the Bruiser came up to me, and he said to me, Phil, we're going to have to change your name. And I says, why? Well, Paul Christie's coming back.
Oh, damn.
I said, well, I wasn't too happy about that. Well, we're going to call you Tiger Phil. And I looked at him, and I says, huh? Tiger. Everybody in the dressing room cracked up. Moose Shellac was there, Wilbur Snyder, Angelo Poffo, Black Jack Lanza, Bobby Heenan.
Wow.
So they started growling. Rawr, rawr. And I said to myself, what the hell is this? So. Yeah, it was Tiger Phil for a couple shows.
I just picture you wearing a mask with the name Tiger Phil. It sounds more oriental in a way, I guess. I don't know.
So I just went along with it because, you know, I'm not going to make no waves. Angelo Poffo was my partner, my promoting partner for 2 years. So the Macho Man, I knew the kids real well, Randy and Lanny. Now they're all gone.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm telling you. I don't have many friends left.
Yeah, well, I mean, damn, but the life you've led, though, man.
Yeah, great career.
A real great career, dude. I mean, I don't know a lot of wrestlers that could tell the stories you tell. Man.
Yeah. Right? And it's all true. Trust me. It's all true.
I believe you. That's what I'm saying. I want a book. I want
It's all
book.
True.
He started one. Do you think that he should finish his book he started?
Yeah. Yeah.
Phil. Finish your book.
We'll see.
And Phil, there needs to be a Tiger Phil shirt now somewhere down the line. I want a Tiger Phil shirt.
Oh, gee. I don't know. It was something else. I was kind of depressed there. But he said, you know, Paul Chrissy was here before you. He was the champion here. I don't know if you knew that. I said, no, I didn't. Well, he's coming back. But he says, we're still using you. He says, you know that, so. And Paul Christie, when he came back, didn't last that long. But they didn't want to keep going back and forth. Well, yeah, in a way, I did. The house shows, I was Phil Christie. And the TV, they had me as Tiger Phil. And I said, that doesn't make a bit of sense. They said, the Bruiser says, don't worry, you get paid, right? I said, yeah. Okay, shut up.
Wow.
Yeah, Bruiser knew that something, you know, he couldn't figure it out either, but...
Well, it broke it down.
It was really cool. Really cool. So,
thank you guys, man. We enjoyed this, and we look forward to hearing from y'all again. And Demeter, keep me in touch when your next show's coming up, and we'll see if we can get you back on again.
Look out for the Alphabets of Domination Pro Wrestling. We're the best of the best.
Okay, yeah, thank you. All right, guys.
Okay, guys, you guys take care of yourselves. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you, Phil. Love it, dude. Love you, dude. Thanks a lot.
Okay, anytime.
We want you back.
All right. All right, there, partner.
Thanks.
All right, take care, man. All right. All right, guys, until next time, this was a little overextended show because, man, when you get somebody like Phil Christian, the stories he tells is so hot. We're going to have to send this back to the studio in the lab, and we're going to have to edit it like crazy. So look for this to be out here pretty soon, and we'll look forward to seeing you again, guys. And we will be at DFW All-Pro coming up this
February 9th.
You're going to see us out there at the Sterling Silver Championship. And until then... I just keep watching the WWE and all the wrestling shows, and hopefully we'll get to see you at the matches.
You've been listening to another episode of Side Hustles and Turnbuckles. Make sure you follow our Facebook page to keep up with everything that we've got going on. Until next time, this is Big Skinny with the Podsec Studio in Fort Worth, Texas. We'll see ya at the matches.